What a great God we serve. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. We're going to look at a number of verses today as we continue our series on overcoming fear and anxiety. And I want to be a help to you, and I trust the Lord will use His word in our lives this morning. And as we look at His word and we look at this very important topic, 1 Corinthians 6:19, we'll get there in a minute. You can see here our verses, our springboard verses. If y'all could turn the lights off in the choir loft, that would help folks. The Bible says 1 John 4 and verse number 18. We looked at this last week and we're familiar with this. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The next verse there, God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then there's a verse in the Old Testament, fear thou not, for I am with thee. We're going to look just to review here just for a few minutes, then we'll have prayer and we'll dive into some new material. We looked at some statistics concerning fear and anxiety and how prevalent it is in our society. I'll let you read these. Nearly 40 million adults, one out of every three. And fear is a very real thing that people have to face and Christians have to face as well. This verse is important because we're going to now look at how we're going to try to overcome fear and anxiety. And it's important for us to understand how we're made. The Bible says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And we looked at this last week. We said we are a three-part individual, and I think it's really important to remember this because often we forget this when it comes to diagnosing what's going on in our own self and what's going on. And so we have body, soul, and spirit. We looked at this last week as well. The body is the part that we obviously see, our physical body. Our spirit is obviously the spiritual side of us. And I said this, it is important for us to recognize that real victory comes when I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, all right? The Bible says there's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. And when you trust Christ as Savior, when you depend on Him and not on you, and you ask God to forgive you your sin, you place your faith and trust in Him, the Holy Spirit of God moves in. And He enables us to live the Christian life, and He enables us to respond to life in a biblical way. And so we've got to recognize this because it's important, because here's where we're going to go. We're going to take one message, actually not even a whole message. Today we're going to touch briefly on the body and the spirit. Most of our series is going to deal with our mind, our will, and our emotions, all right? But I do want to touch just a little bit on our body and our spirit, and so that's what we're going to do here in just a minute. Now, I want to read our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to have prayer, and we're going to dive right in, all right? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible says in verse number 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? 1 Corinthians 6, 19, I'll read 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Lord, we ask now this morning that you would help us as we seek to take truth and help your people. Lord, you know where each of us is. If statistics are true, one out of every three maybe in this auditorium struggles with this. Lord, I pray that you would help us. Lord, you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So, Lord, we ask that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to take just a minute, and I want to talk about our body. Because it's part of the equation, much of this you'd say, okay, duh, I know that, but maybe not, all right? When you're not feeling well, obviously, usually it starts with our body. Because we're three people, I mean, not three people, because we're three parts, we're one people, three parts, we need to take just a minute and talk about our body, and we'll talk about the spiritual, nurturing a spiritual relationship, and then we'll spend most of our time talking about our mind, our will, and our emotions. So let me just say this. It is important for all of us to get enough rest. Most of America is sleep deprived. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Don't think that you're Superman or Superwoman and I can live on 3 or 4 hours of sleep. It is the very rare person that can do that. And I'll tell you this, if you go a couple nights in a row with not enough sleep, guess what's going to happen? You're going to start feeling a little bit of anxiety. You're going to start feeling maybe a little uneasy. Your body needs rest. Number two, it is important that we exercise. Now, the doctors will tell you this. It's very important that we exercise. You see, well, I can't exercise except to take my fork to my mouth, all right? Probably not the best kind of exercise, all right? They say 30 minutes of exercise 3-4 times a week is a good thing. If all you do is go outside and walk around your house 100 times in 20 minutes or however long it is, it will do you a lot of good, all right? I try to exercise 6 out of 7 days a week. It has been transforming for me about 3 or 4 years ago. I was talking to a preacher friend, and we were just talking about things, and we both decided, hey, we got to make some changes. By the way, nothing's going to change until something changes. Yeah, nothing's going to change until something changes. All right, exercise is a good thing. It helps us put the right things into your body. Now, I kid about eating tasty cakes all the time. I eat them, you know, not all the time, but, you know, whenever they're presented to me. No, not really. No, not really. It is important that we try to have a balanced, somewhat balanced diet, right? And if you put too many carbs in, you ever have spaghetti? Don't ever have spaghetti for lunch, because you'll want to take a nap afterwards. You fill up with spaghetti carbs, right? So there are things that we put into our body. By the way, society tells you the way to deal with fear and anxiety is substances, substance abuse. You allow substance abuse, alcohol, cigarettes, vaping. I mean, we've got the whole nine yards. Remember, your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the things that people put in only mask the problem. They don't solve the problem. And it's important that we put the right things into our body. My dad always told me, drink plenty of water. Why'd you put this in there? This is for my dad. All right, whenever I don't feel well, my dad will say, you get enough sleep and do you drink enough water? After that, go see a doctor. But that's his advice. We've got to stay hydrated, for real. You know, you can be dehydrated and not even know you're dehydrated. Too much caffeine can dehydrate you too, by the way. And so drink plenty of water. And here's something I think is very important. Don't let issues linger. You say, what do you mean? If you've got ongoing physical issues, you've got some kind of physical issues, don't be afraid of the doctor, all right? Let me ask you this question. If you and I talked after church this morning, and I said to you, hey, my car is, or you said to me, let's say it this way, because it would be better, right? If you said to me, my car is rattling, Pastor, and I don't know how to fix it. It's just making a noise every time I get into it. And I said, I have the perfect solution for you. Here's what you need to do. Go in the car. When you start the car, turn the radio up real loud. And you won't hear the rattle and you won't hear the noise anymore. Right? I mean, it's true. If you turn the radio up super loud, you're not going to hear the car rattling. But you're not going to solve the problem, right? You're going to be broke down. You know, I broke down this week because I didn't do what I knew I needed to do. I had the tire that was leaking air, and I said, I got to stop and put some air in this tire. I knew it had a problem. Sure enough, took my wife out, and there I am in Kohl's trying to change this flat tire, all right? I didn't do what I should have done. When it comes to issues in your health, okay, don't be afraid of a doctor. If you're afraid of a doctor, find a doctor that you're not afraid of, all right? How many of you are looking forward to the day that you can just eat yogurt and you have to gum all of your food? Okay. Got a few comedians in the group. All right, so here's the thing. You see, Pastor, that's ridiculous. It is, but hold on. Go to a dentist. You know, you say, I haven't been to the dentist in 10 years, bless the Lord. Well, okay, enjoy your yogurt. I mean, I'm not saying it. What I'm saying is this, and I know things happen, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody that has to do that and you have dentures, and I'm thankful for all the technology that we have, okay? I'm thankful. So I'm not trying to offend anybody here. What I'm trying to tell us is this. When there are issues going on, you have a migraine, headache, when issues going on, we have to not ignore them. Because sometimes you can catch things early and fix it. And you realize, wow, why didn't I go to the doctor a year ago? Why didn't I fix this thing? I've been living with this for however long it is. Wow. By the way, a lot of people struggle with sleep apnea. It's very real. I have a friend of mine, a preacher friend of mine, said, "Well, I didn't realize I had sleep apnea. I put this mask on, and I'm like a new person." And he said this, "Why didn't I do this a couple years ago?" You see, so don't let issues linger when it comes to our body. All right, so this is it. This is all you're getting on your body, but it is important. Let's talk about spiritual or nurturing a walk with the Lord. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7 says this, "Exercise thyself unto godliness." And it's important for us to nurture our spiritual life, to nurture our walk with the Lord. And we do this by what? Reading the Bible. We have multiple copies of the Bible. You got multiple copies at home, and we got to just get in it and read it. Spending time in prayer. As I spend time in prayer, I cast my cares on Him, and we'll talk about some of these things. By the way, they're all intertwined. I'm trying to divide them up a little bit because I want to talk about our thinking, and I want to talk about our will, and I want to talk about our emotion. A lot of us live by emotion. A lot of us don't want to let go of control. And none of us, believe it or not, you might think you're in control, but you're not. The only one in control is God, and then our thinking. So I want to spend most of our time on that, but nurturing the spiritual. Be in church, by the way, be in church. I tell you, half of what, of course, I'm the guy preaching, but I get very encouraged by interacting with you folks. People energize me. You might see people wipe you out. That's all right. People energize me. It's an encouragement to hear you sing and to see your smile, and I leave here encouraged in my walk with the Lord. And so be in church. Have the right friends. Someone said your friends will determine your future. It's so true. You want friends that are going to help you spiritually. Get people in your life that you can pray with. Listen to good music. You listen to the wrong kind of music, it's going to bring you down. A lot of music has been written in the world. It's a bunch of depressed people that don't know the Lord, and they're trying to help your depression by songs about depression. And here's the last one. This is really important. If you have sin in your life, nobody knows about it, it's going to do something on the inside. David said this. I think he went 8 months or so. He sinned with Bathsheba and then went a number of months with that sin in his own, the guilt. He said, "My bones waxed old." Do you know it affected him physically? It affected him emotionally in his life. And it's a joy to be right with the Lord, to confess our sin and to be right with God. But a lot of times we bring fear and anxiety and uncertainty. You know, the righteous are what? As bold as a lion. But when there's sin in my life, hey, I'm not bold at all. I don't have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Isn't God good to reveal sin in our heart that we might confess our sin? He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And yet sometimes, knowing what we need to do, we hold on to sin, we hide it, we think nobody sees and nobody knows. Let me say this. God at any time can reveal anything that He wants to reveal. And you may think, hey, I can hold on to this sin and nobody knows about this sin in my life. When God's ready to expose it, it's going to be exposed. So you might as well understand, we might as well recognize that He sees my heart. He knows where I'm at, and we got to make sure we have short sin accounts with the Lord. We want to nurture our spiritual life. All right? All right, so there you go. Body, spirit. Now I want to talk about our soul. And we're going to have a number of messages dealing with our mind, two messages, including today, depends on how far we get today, our will and our emotion. And so I want to deal with our mind, how we think. Here's the outline for the mind, all right? These are the three points where we're going to focus our attention when it comes to our mind, all right? Number one, we have to recognize that our thinking affects us. And we'll look at this in just a minute. The Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Number two, I want us to look at this aspect of what the Bible says, and we're going to look at these texts in a minute. So this, you'll see this outline a lot. I gave it all to you at once so that we don't have too many things going and you can stay focused. The Bible says that we're to bring our thoughts into captivity. And then our third truth we're going to look at is a choice that we have to make to think right, all right? So when it comes to dealing with our mind, here's where we're going, these three avenues. All right, you with me? I want to make sure you're still with me. Now what we're going to do is we're going to zero in on what you see bold there in black. We're going to zero in on our thinking. Will you turn to Proverbs chapter 23? Proverbs chapter number 23. I want you to read the verse with me as we look at the first phrase of Proverbs 23. Here's what the Bible says, and look at verse number 7. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. The Bible says this. You look at it as I read it. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thinking affects you in many areas. Number one, your thinking affects your view of life. Your thinking affects how you view life. You know, we all face challenging circumstances. We all face challenges in our life. We face challenging circumstances. Some of you, unfortunately, probably as a young person, grew up in a home that was less than what God wanted it to be. There may be individuals that had bad circumstances. Maybe you had to grow up and you had to live through divorce. Maybe there was some abuse in your situation, and it's tragic, and it's sad, and it's a shame. But you know what? Our circumstances, our thinking affects our view of life. It's important that we think right concerning the circumstances that we face in life. Hey, our thinking affects our view of God. Do you know they say this? If you grew up in a home where your father was not connected to you, where you didn't have a good father situation, maybe your father was either not there, or your father was maybe abusive, or maybe wasn't and didn't treat your mother right, it can affect a young person's view of God. Do you know our view of God, our picture of God, is very important? Imagine if I was to ask you to get out a piece of paper and draw me a picture of how you view God. Some people might draw a picture of a God in heaven that has a whip, or that maybe has a BB gun or whatever, and he's ready to shoot you as soon as you do wrong. Some people might have a view of God where God's not there. He's busy. And here I am, and I can't get... He's busy. Our view of God must be framed from the Scripture. And we're going to look at this, unfortunately, probably next week, how to solve it. But what I'm trying to help us to recognize is when we find ourselves fearful, when we find ourselves anxious, we have to recognize, okay, what am I thinking? My thinking is going to affect my feeling, and it's going to affect my behavior. Do you know your thinking affects your view of yourself? How many of you have ever thought, I feel like a failure? Let me see your hand. All of us do at times. And do you know what? The devil will do what he can to get you to concentrate on the fact that you are a failure and that you can't be used of God and that you've done some super bad stuff and that though God says he forgives you, he may not come to where he really forgives you. And you feel in your own life just like, man, I just am not worthy. You can feel lonely. Hey, our thinking affects our view of our own selves. And we need to recognize that we've got to see us as God sees us. We've got to recognize that we're children of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God believes in us and God loves us. And nothing's going to separate us from God's love. And then lastly, your thinking affects your view of other people. You know, we see other people through our own lens. And again, maybe if you grew up, sometimes only children, they grow up in an only, you know, they're the only child in the home. The parents have a tendency to tend to them, have a tendency to cater to them. And so sometimes people that are only children can think that everyone exists to help me. Because that's the kind of home I grew up in. If you were mistreated, again, if you're mistreated by parents, you have a spouse that leaves you. We can get a framework in our thinking that is unbiblical. We can view others as, you can't trust anyone today. Is that really true? No, it's not true. And sometimes our thinking affects us in so many ways. But it affects our worldview. It affects how we see life. A lot of people are cynical in life. They just think, well, what's ever going to happen is going to happen, and oh, well, and I can't do anything about it, and God's going to do whatever he's going to do, and whatever. That's not how God wants us to be thinking. And so our thinking affects us in many, many areas. All right, now, let me take a few minutes, and let's talk about number two, capturing and replacing wrong thoughts. And we'll probably end with this. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I also want you to find Philippians chapter 4. All right? Find both passages, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And then I want you to find Philippians chapter number 4. And we're going to go from 2 Corinthians to Philippians, so we'll be in 2 Corinthians 10 first. And I want you to see what the Bible says here, 2 Corinthians 10, and we're going to look at verse number 5, all right? I think most of you sound like you're there. I don't hear the pages flipping. And so let's look at it. Verse 4 first. The Bible says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Verse 5, by the way, I'm convinced that some of the strongholds the Bible's talking about here are wrong patterns of thinking. Verse 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So the Bible tells us this, we're to cast down imaginations. We're to cast down wrong thoughts. Now, here's sometimes what happens. All right, let's use this hymn book to illustrate a thought, okay? So here is a thought. By the way, thoughts can come from many different places, all right? It can come from random, from our subconscious. Sometimes the devil can bombard us with things to get us thinking in a negative way. Sometimes other people can say stuff, all right? And so here is a thought. And most of the time, what usually happens to us is this. This thought is, ooh, it's out there, ooh, and then boing, this thought is now in my mind. And most of us, oh, I can't believe I thought this. Oh, wow. And sometimes, by the way, you listen to a lot of the news, you got a lot of people putting in stuff that isn't true, but that's another issue. We don't want to chase too much of a rabbit here. We'll be off track quick. What we have to do is every thought that we have, we don't take it and embrace it and think, oh, my goodness, my life's falling apart. The world's coming to an end because I had this thought. I know this is hard for us because our thoughts come so fast, but can we put it in slow motion? The thought comes into our mind, and I have to analyze this thought. The Bible tells us that what? We need to cast down imaginations and that which exalts itself against the knowledge of God, right? And bring every thought into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Some thoughts that come into your mind aren't good. They ain't good. Not good. It's part of my English. Some thoughts that come into your mind are bad. They're really bad. Some thoughts, and we're going to see this in a minute when we turn to Philippians 4, some thoughts we need to embrace, but other thoughts we need to say, sayonara, goodbye, see you later. So I want you to look at Philippians 4, and I want to just take a few minutes. This obviously is a passage that we'll use. The main thing I want us to see in our third point is the fact that we have a choice that we have to make. But I want to use what the Bible says here in Philippians 4 to help us when it comes to this matter of capturing our thoughts. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, "The peace of God." That's what we're talking about. Verse 8. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the Bible tells us what we're supposed to think on, which we'll park on a little bit when it comes to this matter of the choices that we have to make. We have to choose to capture wrong thoughts and embrace right thoughts. So let me give you, let's do a little exercise and let's see what the Bible here says. The Bible says that we're to think on what's true. Now, this is very simple. We'll define some of these other words in a minute. So this thought that meanders around and ends up in your brain, we have to kind of sometimes take a time out. And we have to say, is this true or is this false? We have a tendency. How many of you have ever had someone say something about someone else and you just said, wow, that's terrible? And then you talk to the other person and it was a little bit inaccurate, huh? We've been there, yeah. We have a tendency, wow, they did that, that's wicked. We have a tendency to believe the things, the thoughts, then they come into our mind. And sometimes thoughts come into our mind that aren't true. They're not biblical, they're false. What do we do with things that come into our mind that are false? We cast it down. We say, hey, that isn't true. And the best thing to do is to say, this is true. For instance, the Bible says, whoso looketh on a woman lust after has committed adultery. All right? I can't look unless that's what is true. The Bible says, keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You see, I have to capture thoughts, and I need to take thoughts that are not true and quit thinking about them and think upon what is true. Let's look at the next verse, the next word. The Bible says we're to do what? We're to think on what's honest. And by the way, lest you think we're going to go on till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we could, but I'd run out of steam and you'd be ready for lunch and need a nap. We're done with this verse, all right? We're done with this verse. Honest has the idea of that which is important or that which is not important. Do you know sometimes we can think about things that aren't really that important? What is really important? What is important is that I do the will of God. It's that I find myself saying, Lord, what is it that you want me to focus on today? And the devil wants you not just to think on what's false, but he wants to get us sidetracked on things that aren't really all that important in the big scheme of life, right? All right, look at number three. This one's really important. This is really important because you know why? There's a lot of injustices in this world. Is there anyone in here that has never, ever thought, that's not fair? All right, we've all thought that. And you know, we have a tendency to focus on what is unjust. Something comes to our mind, I can't believe he did that. I can't believe he said that. I can't believe he did. I can't believe they were like this. I can't believe that happened to me. I can't believe they treated me like that. And they're a Christian, or they're a deacon, or they're a pastor, or they're a teacher, or they're a this, or they're a that. And you talk to some people, and they're really good at meditating on that which is unjust. And it derails us. And the Bible doesn't want us, God says, don't think on that which is just. Hey, there's a lot of things that have happened to us that are by the grace of God. But for the grace of God, we are where we are. And we want people to be forbearing and gracious and merciful to us and our weaknesses. And yet, when it comes to the injustices that people do to us, we're going to bring it up over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And when these thoughts come into our mind, we need to capture those thoughts. And we need to cast them down and say, God doesn't want me thinking about that which is unjust. And sometimes with the injustices in life, we have to say, God, I have to give this to you. And it comes back in the mind, I'm not going to dwell on that. I'm going to give this to you, God. I'm going to continue to give it to God because God is the only one that can really deal with some of these issues. And we can't find ourselves. You face a lot of anxiety and fear. We start focusing on the injustices in life. A lot. How about that which is pure versus that which is impure? A lot of impurities. The things come into our mind. Think, where'd that come from? We've got to focus on that which is pure. Again, Paul told Timothy, exercise thyself unto godliness. Right? Let no man despise thy youth, be an example of believer in word and conversation. And there's many, many scriptures that we could focus on. How about the idea of lovely? Building up or tearing down? Do you know the devil will put things in our minds, try to get us to focus on that which is, I'm going to get them back. They did that to me. I'm going to do it to them. And you know, the things in our minds that come into our minds, some of them don't build us up and don't build others up. You know, before you speak to somebody, ask, is this going to help this person? My speech, let no corrupt communication proceed out of my mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. The word edifying there has to do with building up. Grace, obviously, God's divine enablement. Hey, we ought to walk away from conversations with each other encouraged and thinking, hey, I can serve God. Hey, I can. But we won't do that if we just, whatever thoughts come bombarding our mind, we just let ourselves be. I said this last week. We have to learn to talk to ourselves and not listen to ourselves. And I think this passage, to me, gives us a great steps for us recognizing as thoughts come into our mind, what do I do with this thought? And lastly, the idea of good report has the idea of worth commending, or that which is profitable, suitable, acceptable for somebody else. You know, sometimes people don't need to know information. Sometimes they don't need to know it. And you know, when we recognize this, to me, this is a great way for us to begin thinking about what we're thinking about, which is what we really need to do. You know, somebody say, well, what are you thinking? Now, as men, ladies, you have a talent that we don't have. Okay, ladies, you can think about 500 things at one time, you know. Sometimes as men, we have this neutral in our brains, and you say, what are you thinking about? And we say, nothing. And a woman says, how can you be thinking about nothing? Because I'm thinking about nothing, because I'm a man, right? But all of us need to recognize our thinking affects us. It affects how we feel. It affects how we interact. It affects my emotions of fear or anxiety. And so I need to start thinking about my thinking, and I need to start thinking about what I'm thinking if I'm going to discipline my mind to think on that which is going to help me be free from anxiety, fear, worry. So this week I'm going to give you an assignment. It is to think about your thinking, especially when you find yourself feeling fear, anxiety, worry. Think about your thinking. Sometimes you know. Sometimes we don't recognize. You know, you listen to 2 hours of the news, and you find yourself feeling a little uneasy, a little anxious. You might have to stop and say, "Okay, how did I get to where I'm at?" Because the things I brought into my mind. By the way, don't forget about the things we bring into our body. You see, God wants us. This is pretty awesome. It's hard to explain. And let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keep our hearts and minds. How at peace is God? I don't think God's up in heaven going, almost happened. That almost happened. Oh, look, the stars. Oh, no, they're about. Not at all. And God says this, the peace of God can be ours. But we've got to discipline our thinking. And we've got to think biblically, and we'll look at this as we continue next week. Lord, we love you today. Thank you for the privilege to share your word. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word that gives us victory. Now, Lord, I pray that you would work in each one here this morning. Lord, there may be some that don't know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Their sins are forgiven, they're on their way to heaven. But they see their need to trust Christ as Savior. Lord, there may be some Christians here that recognize, okay, I have to start thinking about what I'm thinking. I've got to recognize that my thinking needs to be biblical. And the Lord, we all need to obey your word that says to capture, to cast down imaginations and those things which we ought not be thinking about. So I pray that you would draw folks to yourself and that you'd be glorified in this time now.